It's a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's past, from the holidays. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Later on, it's Fibber McGee and Molly from 1941. But first, a holiday broadcast of the Red Skelton Show from December 19th, 1951 on CBS.
When Santa Claus comes around your way, I hope that he will bring Norge appliance for your home, and then you two will sing. You won't know what you're missing if you don't see Norge.
Transcribed from Hollywood, Norge, a division of BorgWarner, manufacturers of America's most modern automatic and wringer washers, gas and electric ranges, water heaters, and home freezers. Originators and world's largest manufacturers of self-defrosting refrigerators, Norge presents the Red Skelton Radio Show. Red Skelton, David Rose, and his orchestra, Loreen Tuttle, Pat McGeehan, and Gene Cuter will be me, Rod O'Connor. And now the star of our program, the man with the station wagon physique and the convertible face, MGM's clown, Red Skelton.
Characters in our show are fictional. Any similarity to persons living would be better off dead.
From the Skelton Scrapbook of Satire, a story entitled The Little Christmas Tree.
Well, we'd better get into the theater and get things ready for our Christmas show.
Hey, look who's coming down the street.
Oh, yes, the star of our show, Junior.
Yes, his mother sure likes she's had her hands full, doesn't she?
Yes. Well, I'll go in and get the costumes ready.
Yeah, I'll go around and round up the actors.
Now, hurry, Junior.
Don't pull me like that.
Now, wait a minute. You're the star of the Christmas pageant, and you don't want to be late.
I don't want to be in it to begin with. That stuff is sissy stuff. Why, playing with girls and stuff like that, if it ever gets back to the Skunk Patrol, I'll be demoted from a stinker to a sniff.
Really, you should be proud to be in the show.
Well, I'm not. I'm scared.
What is there to be afraid of?
The audience, that's what who's afraid of. They sit out there with them big eyes staring at you. You never know if they've got apples or things they're going to throw at you or not, boy. I changed my mind. I'm not going to be in the play.
Oh, yes, you are, young man.
No, I'm not. You let me tell you, I'm going to bang my head on the sidewalk.
You're wasting your time, Junior. We've been trying to pound something into your head for years.
You love me, don't you?
I'm telling you, you better stop acting like this.
Well?
If Santa hears about it, well, that's all.
Well, maybe he won't come this year. Maybe he's still stuck in the chimney. I put a bear trap in there last year. Oh, I know. Hey, I know what Pop bought you for Christmas.
Hmm?
You know that big bottle of perfume?
That $60 bottle?
Yet?
Oh, no, he shouldn't have.
He didn't.
Stage door. Now, careful going up the steps.
Okay. Hello, blubber boy.
Oh, there you are. We've been waiting for you.
Yeah.
Do you know your lines, Junior?
I know them frontwards and backwards.
Good.
But I'm so scared they'll probably come out sideways.
Good evening, Loreen and Junior. Well, here's your Christmas tree costume.
Do those lights work?
Yes, they do.
Oh, good. This is one Christmas I can get lit up before Pop does.
These wires don't have any shorts in them, do they?
I have shorts on.
We wouldn't want Junior to get electrocuted.
Oh, good heavens, no. He's wearing his good suit.
Yeah.
Well, shall we get dressed, Junior?
Yeah, why did I have to be a Christmas tree? Why couldn't I be a widow angel?
Oh, you dreamer, you.
There you are. Mm. Now, see how it fits?
Yeah.
Right over your head.
Now, let's see how I look. Where's the mirror? Let me see. Hey, me legs are sticking out.
Well, they're supposed to. They're supposed to be the tree trunk.
Oh, it's the first time I ever saw a knock-kneed tree trunk.
Hear ye, hear ye. 'Tis time for a Christmas story. Our our story begins in a forest where giant redwoods and tiny fir trees grow. This story is of a little Christmas tree who heard a voice in the whispering wind.
Each living thing is here to serve a purpose. Now you are growing in Mother Nature's storehouse. But soon man will come and take you away. Some will become houses, churches, furniture. But regardless of how you may be used, remember, it is my will that you serve well.
And one day, two men did come into our peaceful little forest, and they rode in on horseback. They were all tired and dirty, they were.
Whoa! Whoa! Ark, my ark, boy!
Did I? Why don't you say stop?
That's why I didn't say stop.
Are you okay?
Yeah, help me get my head out of this gopher hole, will you? You got a gopher. I'm in this hole over here.
Hey, why don't you get rid of that stupid horse?
I can't. This is Silver's brother, old Stainless Steel. You know, every year around this time, I get a feeling like I'd like to give something away, but I ain't got nothing to give. Mm-hmm. I think I'll go over to the bank and get some money and give you half of it.
The bank is closed.
I wasn't going to make out a withdrawal slip.
Deadeye, why don't you reform and take home an honest man's pay?
I will. You show me where he hides and I'll take it home. One thing I'm honest about, that's fighting.
Well, how about that horse thief I hear you fought? Was that an honest duel?
Well, sure. I even let him have the first shot. Mm-hmm. Then I stepped behind that big rock and plugged him.
Well, I don't know about you, fella, but I'm reforming. There's too much stealing in the world.
Yeah. You hear about that honest election they had in Russia? 5 guys voted against him. Services were an hour later.
Look, Deadeye, Mother Nature's provided a way for us to earn our keep and not steal it.
Are you going loco?
No.
I got that out of one of them television pictures. You going loco?
Forget this now. It'll soon be Christmas.
Yeah?
Come on, let's chop down a lot of trees and go down and sell them to the city folks.
Well, I don't know. Them things are awful big, ain't they?
Well, we'll chop the little fir trees.
Fir trees?
Yeah.
Well, what they won't think of next. Imagine going out in your backyard and picking a dozen of oranges and a couple of mink coats.
What do you say, Deadeye?
Well, see, that one up there looks pretty good. Way up there, sort of special-like, ain't it?
Yeah. Say, ain't we got enough trees, Deadeye?
Nope. There's one more up there, that little special tree. That's the one I want.
Well, look, we've been climbing for that tree for 3 hours, and I'm mighty hungry.
Well, what are you griping about? My hands are frozen. I've been holding my pants up with my teeth. Mm-hmm. And that ain't easy.
Why?
No teeth. Hey, forget about food. Start thinking about women.
Well, I'd rather think about food.
Than women?
Yeah.
Boy, I hope I never get that hungry. Hey, look, there's that little tree up there. Let's go get it and we'll call it a day, huh?
See, what's that black thing walking around under it?
Sure.
Looks like a bear.
Well, make friends with him. You know, my brother made friends with a bear once.
And the bear like him?
Sure, he ate all of them. He must have. I'll fix that bear. Give me that six-shooter there. I'll put him to a way to rest, boy. All right, I'll lay down. Give me my gun back, bear. Boy, look at that bear run.
Yeah.
Boy, well, how you coming with that tree?
Well, I'm working like a little beaver.
Well, take bigger bite.
Well, come on, let's go. We got to sell these trees.
And so along with a lot of other little trees, we were loaded on flat cars on the railroad, and we were taken into the city. There we all stood, looking at the tall buildings, so different from the tall mountains in the stillness. The people by the thousands were walking through this man-made force, arguing about me price. And the man who was selling the trees was pretty unhappy, he was.
Well, here I am. Only wait so long if the music don't come, I go right ahead, you know. Yes, sir. America's foremost conductor. Yes, sir, here I am, old Clem Cadiddlehopper, the Christmas tree man. They call me the Christmas tree man because my head goes to a point. Business ain't too good either, and I've got a feeling that after the 25th, it's going to get worse. Boy, business sure is bad. My head's freezing. Brr. My ears must have come untied. It's getting colder by the minute. I just saw Frosty the Snowman go inside to get warmed up.
Yoo-hoo, Clam! Well, Yoo-hoo!
Well, now, if four hogs don't run in, I'll faint. Well, lover girl, how are you today?
My face is frozen blue.
Well, don't worry. It'll go back to its normal green again. Yeah, it is cold, ain't it, huh? My goose pimples are working in two shifts. Let's head over to the bonfire. There. You feel warmer?
Nope.
Well, maybe I should light the fire.
Haven't you lit the fire?
Well, no, I figured the logs would last longer this way.
Now, here's a book of matches.
A what?
A book of matches.
Have you read it? She didn't get that. She didn't.
I didn't care for it myself.
Oh, gee. Look at that handsome man in that Cadillac.
How do you know he's handsome? He ain't gotten out of the car yet.
Any man in a Cadillac is handsome.
Oh, that's Rod O'Connor. Howdy, howdy there. Would you like to buy a Christmas tree?
Well, that depends. What do you have in a real cheap tree?
Termites. Yeah, what are you expecting, owls? What do you want to pay?
Well, what have you got for about $2?
$2?
Mm-hmm.
There's a nice hairy broomstick over here.
No. I need a tree.
Bill.
Let me look at something for $2.
Well, it's a little high for a look, but if you can afford it, go ahead.
If you've got anything cheaper than $2, I'll take it. What do you have?
I'll tell you, Sporty. Huh? Here's a package of seeds, but I don't think they'll sprout by Christmas.
Boy, you sure got some scrawny stuff around here.
That's my girl you're looking at.
Yeah, say, she's really something.
Yeah, I've heard that before, but what?
Help you pick out a tree, Mr. O'Connor.
What is that get sickening about this? Hey, here's a brown tree over here. I'll let you have for a dollar.
A brown tree?
Yeah.
Well, I've never heard of that before. Is it something new?
No, it's very old. Very old. Here's one already decorated. How about that one?
That's an orange tree.
It is. Well, I thought those light bulbs were a little juicy.
Hey, this is a nice little tree. How much?
This is $10. $10.
I'll take it. All right.
Well, that's fine. Now, if you need any more, just let me know. I'm open the year around, you know.
And so I was bought, and it was taken to a beautiful living room. And everybody seemed so happy, and there was Christmas music playing.
It's Christmas Eve, and we're making a last-minute check of our list to be sure we haven't forgotten anyone. We pause for a second and offer a prayer for our neighbors. We wish all of them a Merry Christmas. The children have hung up their stockings and have been shooed off to bed. In the stillness of the room stands a young fir tree, the tree of the Christ child. The stillness changes our thoughts. we hear the tiny tree speaking.
So now I know what I am. I'm a Christmas tree. But a confused little Christmas tree, because I don't know why I is here. Why was I chosen from millions of little trees just like me to stand in this room? And although I'm very young, in a few days, I will wither away, and my green coat will fade, and my needles will drop off. Why am I standing here all decorated? What good are decorations if your deeds are not remembered? They hang decorations on heroes, too. Yet heroes, like Christmas trees, are forgotten, only to be remembered if they're needed to serve another purpose. Beneath my branches, gifts are placed. They're wrapped in gay colors and tied with bright ribbons. These are the tokens of friendship, the spirit of Christmas from those who gave from their heart. They gave for the goodness. Shall we stop and hear the receiver speak?
Oh, here's another package.
Who's it from?
It's from your boss. Oh, I wonder what it is.
Maybe it's the thing. I think with all his money, he'd give out with something worthwhile.
Is this why I was brought here? Am I serving me purpose? Is this the true meaning, the spirit of giving? Don't they know that Christmas is the birthday of Christ, not a holiday for the greedy? Why am I standing here anyway? What is me purpose? What's that? There's somebody on the roof. It's reindeer. Oh, I remember the sound of their little hoofs. I remember how they used to play around me, branches out in the forest. Oh, somebody coming down that chimney.
Merry Christmas! Merry!
Well, they're all asleep. Well, I think I'll just rest for a second. My, what a beautiful Christmas tree.
Thank you.
What?
I said thank you. You said I was beautiful, and I said thank you.
By golly, old Santa Claus's ears are playing tricks on him. I could have sworn that tree spoke.
I did, Santa Claus.
But why in such a sad way? Christmas trees are supposed to be happy.
Well, I can't be happy. I was told by a kind voice that I was to serve a purpose. Well, I can't figure out what it is.
Well, haven't you ever been happy?
Oh, yes. I was happy back in the forest. I remember how every spring the same birds who flew south for the winter would return and rebuild their homes that the blizzard had destroyed in my branches. And how the wind would blow through me fur and make whispering music. And the birds would join in and sing with us. We were the sounds of the earth, a symphony unwritten. I was happy then, because there, at least I knew what my purpose was.
Well, you're making music now?
No, I'm not.
Yes, doesn't it do you good to know that you're bringing happiness? You just wait until Christmas morning when you hear the laughter of all the little children. And how proud you'll be when they dance around you. Oh, I wish I could be here to enjoy it with you. You see, I've never seen nor heard the children after I leave their presence.
Well, why don't you stay around, Santa Claus?
Well, for some reason, I have never been asked.
Ah.
It seems that after folks get what they want, Santa Claus isn't needed until the next year when they need something else.
Then why do you keep coming back, Santa Claus?
Because the children need someone to put the spirit of giving into their little hearts without greed. I come back each year hoping to find men living not by man-made laws, but by the Ten Commandments. So, be happy, little Christmas tree. You do have a very wonderful purpose.
How can I be happy? They've cut me off at the roots. I'll be dead in a few days without even knowing my purpose for being here.
Well, maybe old Santa Claus can help you understand. You know, tonight I paid a visit to a place and knocked two of my reindeer cold. It was dark, you see. and we ran head on into an iron curtain. I should have known I wasn't wanted when I didn't see one Christmas tree to help light my way. There wasn't one child's stocking to be filled, not one church holding services. And it was a great, vast place, all without spiritual guidance.
You mean they don't have churches?
Oh, yes. Yes, they have churches. And people are free to attend. But if they do, they can no longer be members of the party. And only members of the party receive ration cards. Oh, yes. Yes, there were churches. But they were not used for worship, Little Tree. They're used as museums to belittle the true spirit of giving. Now, do you understand your purpose for being here? As long as you and all other little trees like you can stand in a home at Christmas, the world will know that freedom of man is still here, and that God's prayer, peace on earth, goodwill towards men, is still alive.
Yes, Santa Claus, I do see it now. Oh, I feel so much better because now I understand my purpose for being here.
Good. Well, I must be on my way.
Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas,
Little
Tree. Santa Claus.
Merry.
For next year and every year. And maybe next year you'll be asked to stay longer than just over the holidays. Merry Christmas, Santa Claus. Merry Christmas, everybody.
This is Rod O'Connor saying, remember, in refrigerators, home freezers, gas and electric ranges, washers and water heaters, everything Norge makes right. Take time out to stop in at your Norge dealers and see the new Norge Jet Self Defroster, the newest and finest refrigerator in the famous Norge line. Find out how smart it would be for you to trade in your old refrigerator on this beautiful new Norge. Think about what a wonderful Christmas present it would make for the whole family. A gift that would keep on giving year after year. Yes, see the new Norge Jet Self Defroster at your Norge dealers right away. And now until next week.
This is Red Skelton saying thanks for listening and reminding you that you won't know what you're missing if you don't see Norge.
Join us again next week for the Red Skelton Show.
The Red Skelton Show on Tuned to Yesterday from December 19, 1951 on CBS, and that would also mark the first year that Skelton was on television in his own variety-style program, which he would have with much success for the next 20 years. You're listening to an hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for Fibber McGee and Molly from December 16, 1941 on NBC.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. Makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with songs by Martha Tilton and the King's Men, and music by Billy Mills. The show opens with the National Emblem March. Gentlemen, I heard an officer of the Red Cross speak last night. He was asking for money. He said in part that it was customary these days to preface any request for help with an apology, but that he wasn't making any apology. Neither are we. The Red Cross needs $50 million, urgently and immediately. Now, for 130 million people, that's the price of a few cigars or a lipstick. The Red Cross is always ready to help in times of war and disaster. And from now on, the demands upon them will be great. But we are a great nation. So let's give till it hurts. Master of 79 Wistful Vista is not one to squander a buck and a quarter for a Christmas tree when he can drive out to the woods and chop down his own. No, sir. And here, driving up to the house, frostbitten but triumphant, we find that lumberjack who saves Jack on his lumber, Fibber of Fibber McGee and Molly.
Get them brakes fixed. Boy, am I cold. Well, come on, Christmas tree. Come to Papa. You got a new home.
Oh. McGee, you're getting snow all over the hall. Why didn't you stamp your feet?
Why should I stamp my feet? I ain't mad at anybody. Besides, they're so cold, I'm just walking from memory.
Oh. Here, you poor lad. Let me take your coat and your mittens.
Thanks, Molly. Hey, take a gander at that tree, will you? Ain't she a whopper?
Heavenly days, it certainly is.
Yeah, it was the pick of the whole woods, Molly. I had to fight off 20 other guys to get it, too. They all wanted it.
Oh, did you actually fight for it, dearie?
Oh, it didn't come down to an actual brawl, no. One guy ups to me and says, "That's my tree, Shorty." And I says, "Yeah," I says, tossing my hatchet up in the air and catching it by the handle. "Get it," I says. "You don't need this tree for last Christmas," I says. And he says, "What do you mean, last Christmas?" "Well," I says, sinister-like, advancing toward him with a nasty look, "you lay a blade on that balsam bud, and last Christmas was your last Christmas."
Ah, good for you, McGee. Did he go away then?
No. Started swinging his axe at me. And just then I noticed that this tree, which was a little farther along and was even bigger and better.
Oh, yeah.
So I just sneered and walked away. Double time.
Well, it certainly is a big one. What'll we do with it after Christmas? Hollow it out and make a canoe?
Shucks now, Molly. Just
what
because...
What took you so long to get it home? You know, you've been gone 6 hours.
Well, I had a blowout on the way back and had to stop and buy a new secondhand tire.
Oh.
Cost me $7.
Oh. Where's the hatchet?
I lost it in the snow, but I know just where it is, and next spring when the snow melts, I'll get it. Oh, my gosh. What's that?
Oh, it's that window in the dining room. I opened it because it was so hot in here, and it won't stay open.
No. Well, I'll fix it when I get time. By the way, what time is it?
It's after 4. Why? Where's your wristwatch?
Well, I took it off to chop this tree down and forgot all about it. Then when I went back to look for it, it had snowed some more and covered it up.
Well, that's fine. A $30 wristwatch, a $2 hatchet, and a $7 tie. $39 for a 98-cent Christmas tree. Oh, happy Yuletide.
Well, I didn't want one of those measly little moth-eaten shrubs they're selling downtown. When I want a tree, I want a tree, not a bouquet. Come in.
Hello, Mayor Latrivia.
Good day, Mrs. McGee. I say, McGee.
Yes?
About that job you wanted in the City Hall. I'm still working on it, but I'll have to have a little information.
Well, tell the nice mayor what he wants to know, dearie.
Okay. Dig me, Latriv.
Well, first, can you dominate people? Can you let the ones in that you really want to see and shut the rest out?
Absolutely.
Another thing, McGee, can you stand it physically? To be mauled by crowds of people all asking you questions. Can you ignore the whispers behind your back? Can you give orders in a loud tone of authority?
Boy, can I. Listen to this, Triv. All right, folks. As captain of the detective force of Wistful Vista, I order you to make way there. Stand back, everybody. The police...
this wouldn't be a police job, McGee.
Oh.
But one of the elevator operators has just been drafted, and I've suggested you. I'll let you know later. Good day.
Why, that small-minded, boat-grabbing, baby-kissing...
Now. Never mind that now. Say, where should we place this tree, McGee?
I don't know. Where do you think?
Well, offhand, dearie, I'd say it was a toss-up between the Grand Canyon and Death Valley.
Shucks, I told you I got to trim it down a little. Get me a hatchet, will you?
The hatchet, dear boy, according to your official communique...
Yeah.
Is at present sleeping its edge off under a snowdrift 18 miles north of town.
Yeah, well, we got a saw, haven't we?
Not a very good one. It's all bent.
Who bent it?
You did.
Huh?
After you saw that vaudeville act at the Bijou last October, you tried to play pony boy on it, remember?
Well, I guess it'll still work. Hey, it's awful hot in here.
Yes, it is. I'll open that dining room window again.
Okay.
The thermostat on the furnace is out of order, and I've got to get it fixed.
Boy, am I tired. Ah, but what a tree. Why, this will give us enough kindling wood for all summer. Except that we don't need any kindling wood in the summer.
Hey, McGee, I just thought of something.
What's that?
This tree is so big, our little ornaments are going to look awful silly on it.
Yeah, I never thought of that. I better order a bigger assortment of ornaments. Now, hand me the phone, will you?
Here.
Thanks. Hello, operator. Give me the Wistful Vista Novelty and Day. Oh, is that you, Mert? How's every little thing, Mert? Huh? Who? Your niece. Somebody grabbed her and kissed her during the blackout.
Oh, heavenly days, McGee. Does she know who it was?
She'll recognize him when she sees him. He'll have lipstick all over his face, neck, and shirt front.
From just one kiss?
What do you mean, one kiss? That blackout lasted 3 hours. What say, Mert? Okay, I'll call him later. Hey, did you get me the saw, Molly?
Here it is, dearie. And now don't get sawdust all over my floor.
Why not? It'll make Uncle Dennis feel at home. See, I guess I better take a couple of feet off of the bottom first.
Yes, and trim out 100 or so branches. Tarzan or somebody might be hiding in there.
Who?
Tarzan.
Who?
I said Tarzan.
Who?
Oh, stop it, McGee. That's
I didn't say anything.
Funny.
You said Tarzan.
Who?
Tarzan.
Who are you shouting at?
Who? Who? Who?
Hey, what's this?
McGee, it's an owl. He's in that tree.
Huh?
Look, up on the fourth branch.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Take the tree, Molly. Open the door and we'll chew him out.
Who?
You. Come on, get out of that, you big buzzard. Go on, slam.
Hey. Get harder, McGee. There he goes.
Take him, Molly. Take him this way. Put out to the table. Oh, head him toward the door, Molly. Wave your hand,
Birdie. I am waving my hand. Shoo, scat, go away, Birdie. He won't even look at me, McGee.
Well, owls don't see good in the daytime.
Well, what do you expect me to do, buy him some glasses?
Hey, ooh, there he goes. Go on, beat it. Scram.
Woo-hoo.
Well, thank goodness. Those things give me the creeps.
Me too. Though I will say it was decent of him to back up my judgment.
What are you talking about?
Well, owls are wise birds, and we both picked out the same tree. Don't you get it, Molly? I says owls
are... funny, McGee.
Okay. But I've been hooted at enough for one day. Hand me the saw again. Thanks. Now...
Hello there, daughter. How's about... Hey, what you got there, Johnny? Christmas tree?
Oh, no. We buy our firewood on the hoof, Mr. Oldtimer.
What's on your mind besides that Daniel Boone cap, Oldtimer?
Just wanted to know if you could come out and play. Some of us kids are building a snow fort in that vacant lot up on the corner. Having a peck of fun.
No, thank you. We've got work to do, Mr. Oldtimer. I'm afraid you left a romp in the snow without us.
Oh, gee, kids, come on. We wanted to choose up sides and play Yanks and Japs. Only nobody wants to be a Jap.
We haven't got time to play now, Oldtimer. I got to trim this tree before...
Then you got a corncob pipe we can have, Johnny. I built a big snowman, and I want to put a pipe in his mouth.
Oh, give him a cigarette.
Yeah, and put a sign on him. Something new has been added.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it.
No.
The way I heard it... What was that?
Oh, it's just the dining room window, Mr. Oldtimer. It won't stay open.
See? Who? Well, the way I hear it, one feller says, tell a feller, he says, why does Hitler make all his speeches from a beer garden? Well, says tell a feller, that's so when he starts foaming at the mouth, nobody will notice it.
Martha Tilton sings Thank Your Lucky Stars and Stripes.
If you live right, if you get to sleep at night, you can thank your lucky stars and stripes. If you feel free, if there's sugar in your tea, you can thank your lucky stars and stripes. Eat meat and ham and eggs and hay rides and cider kegs if you like. The good old Yankee way, so say so. If you can sing and believe in anything, you can thank your lucky stars and stripes. Do you like it here? Don't you think this country is swell? Do you want to cheer? Ring the Liberty Bell. Well, if life is gay, if there's fun on Dollar Day, you can thank your lucky stars and stripes. You can joke and enjoy an artichoke. You can thank your lucky stars and stripes. Dime stores and bobby pins and hot dogs and Mickey Finns. If you like the way we go about it, shout it. If you can sing and believe in anything, you can thank your lucky stars and
cut down the old pine tree, and they hauled it away to the mill to make a nice Christmas tree just for Molly and me.
Hey, goodness sakes, do you have to sing with your thawing?
No, I don't have to, but it helps. Hey, how does it look now, Molly? Beginning to shape up pretty good, eh?
Yes, if you like that shape. Pretty lopsided.
It is? Where? Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Well, I can trim that side off a little more. It's a good thing I got a big tree to start with, you know it.
Well,
yeah.
Listen, I'll try and be a little quieter. Uncle Dennis is upstairs taking a nap.
That guy's always taking a nap. And I just found out why he wanted that old brass bed brought down from the attic, too.
Why?
Well, I peeked in on him the other morning, and there he was, sound asleep, with one foot on the brass foot rail and a happy smile on his pretty little face.
Now, let's not start on poor Uncle Dennis again. He's a gentleman and a scholar.
He ought to be a scholar. He's had more teachers than anybody I ever knew. Oh, I cut down the old pine tree, and I hauled it away in my car.
McGee, there's somebody at the door.
Who?
I don't know. Let me see. Oh, it's Mrs. Uppington.
Oh, not the Mrs. Uppington, the choicest crumb in our upper crust.
Yes. And wearing a hat that was made in a hurry by a cross-eyed milliner wearing boxing gloves. Come in, Abigail, darling.
How do you do, my dear? And Mr. McGee?
Hi, Uppy.
Please excuse the mess in here, Abigail. McGee is trimming the Christmas tree.
Oh, how fascinating. I simply adore the scent of freshly cut lumber, really. It's so invigorating and so outdoorsy, you might say.
Yeah, I might say that if I carried my handkerchief in my sleeve.
I didn't know you were such a lover of the great open spaces, Abigail.
Oh, my dear. I used to simply spend all my time at my hunting lodge in Maine. Roughing it, you know.
Ever hunt any moose?
McGee. Watch your Thomas, dearie.
Well, did you, Uppy?
Oh, no. I was never much of a Nimrod, Mr. McGee. Oh. We called it a hunting lodge because we were always hunting a paw for bridge.
Ah, but you really ran wild up there, Uppy.
Don't pay any attention to him, Abigail. You know, he thinks he's a great woodsman because he shot a bear in Alaska last summer.
Well, that was something. If you ever walked through a dark forest with the feeling that something was creeping up on you, ready to pounce any minute, and suddenly...
Wow! Help! He got me! Shoot him!
Take it easy, McGee. Huh? Take it easy. It's just the window in the dining room. It won't stay open, Abigail. But say, where did you get that hat? I haven't been able to take my eyes off it.
Oh, do you like it, my dear?
She didn't say that. She just said she couldn't take her eyes off it.
I tell you, it's just darling, Abigail. Oh, I'm so glad. That's exactly why I dropped over today, my dear, to see if you liked it. Do you, Miss E.D.?
Well, confidentially, Effie, and since I'm a plain-spoken man, I think it's the worst monstrosity ever placed on a human head.
Oh.
It would make a Zulu medicine man swallow his spear.
Oh, splendid. I'm a success.
What?
I just said to myself, if Mr. McGee likes it, I will simply have to give it to my cook. That man has less taste than a nightclub salad. Thank you, Mr. McGee.
That old flounder. So I haven't got any taste, haven't I?
Not in half, dearie. When it comes to fashions, you'd better just do one thing.
What's that?
Saw wood.
Huh? Oh. Okay. I got needles galore sprinkled over the floor in the shade of the old pine tree. Hey, Molly. How's she look now?
Well, it looks better, McGee. At least we can get in the same room with it. Now, if you'll trim some more off the far side there.
Okay, hi, Harlow.
Hello, Fibber. Hello, Molly.
Hello, Mr. Wilcox. Won't you come in and get some sawdust all over your clothes?
Say, what goes on here anyway?
I went out and cut down my own Christmas tree, Harlow, and now I got to shorten the sleeves on it a little.
Well, you sure got the room in a mess, pal. You've got enough loose branches around here to bed down a rhinoceros.
Well, lie down and we'll try to make you comfortable.
Very funny, McGee. But what can we do for you, Mr. Wilcox?
Well, it's like this, Molly. I'm a little worried about the greeting cards I ordered this year. I'm afraid the sentiment is a little too flowery.
Well, read one to us, Mr. Wilcox. Though, personally, I don't think a greeting card could be too flowery.
Why, certainly not. Let them drip, I always say. Well, read the blurb, Waxy.
All right. It reads, "The season's greetings to you, my Fran, from the Johnson Self-Polishing Glow Coat Man. I hope that in 1942 and 43 and 44 and 45 and 46, you'll remember all those little tricks I showed you about saving time and dough by using Glow Coat on your flow."
On your flow? Well, shut my mouth, honey, child.
You got it, dearie. Continue, Mr. Wilcox.
"How it saves your linoleum and keeps it clean with a lovely gloss and a dandy sheen. Eliminates rubbing and buffing, too. And in 20 minutes or less, you're through. Just pour some out and spread it around and let it dry, and then you've found the color and pattern have come to life, and so have you, your husband's wife."
Oh, that's funny. Your husband's wife. If that ain't the corny.
Hey, what's that noise?
That was Longfellow turning over, Harlow.
Now, it was the dining room window falling down again, but go ahead, Mr. Wilcox.
Well, there isn't much more.
Fine.
But it goes, "The best of wishes I send to you from me and S.C. Johnson & Son Incorporated, too." Well, what do you think of it? Okay. I'll get something else.
Naive character, isn't he, Molly?
How naive.
Oh, I was talking to him one day, and he looks all around to see if anybody was listening, and then whispers to me that Santa Claus didn't really live at the North Pole. Said he really lived in Racine, Wisconsin.
Say, that tree's getting awfully small, yeah. McGee. Better not trim it much more.
I know, but I decided that it would look a lot better up on the piano.
Well, that'll be nice.
Yeah.
Then it'll be out of the way.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll go out and fix that dining room window.
Okay. Oh, I cut down the old pine tree, 'cause the ones at the store were not free. I told the man at the store, there's a knock at the door.
I wonder who that could be. Come in. Oh, hello, Mr. Wimple.
Hello, Mrs. McGee. How are you today, Mr. McGee?
Fit as a fiddle and ready to play humoresque, Wimp. Old Shrimp, what's it with you?
I just dropped in to say goodbye for a couple of weeks, is all.
Oh.
I'm spending the holidays in Chicago with Mama and Papa.
Oh. Is your wife going with you, Mr. Wimple?
Who, Sweetie Face?
Uh-huh.
No, she has to stay here and knit.
Knit? Can't she knit on the train?
Not so good, Mr. McGee.
Oh.
She broke 3 ribs wrestling with a policeman, and the doctor says she'll knit much better at home.
Well, what on earth was she doing wrestling with a policeman?
Oh, she is the instructor at the police gymnasium, Mrs. McGee. The whole force is just crazy to study with her. At least, I think they are.
I'll bet you'll miss her, Wimple.
How much?
How much will you miss her?
No, how much will you bet? Oh, I shouldn't say that, I suppose. Stevie Face is really a wonderful woman at heart, if any, and I doubt it.
Well, we'll call on her while you're gone, Wimple, and see if there's anything we can do.
Yes, we might take her some fruit or something.
Oh, I wouldn't advise it, Mrs. McGee. Last time Stevie Face was sick, some people took her some flowers and she threw them in their faces.
Oh, don't she like flowers?
Yes, she loves flowers, but she hates people. Well, goodbye, folks, and Merry Christmas.
And you.
Charming
now.
McGee,
haven't you got that 3-6 yet? No, but it won't be long now, Molly. Anyway, I hope not. This saw's getting duller than a bus trip to Bloomington.
Well, is it still awfully hot in here, McGee?
You're asking the wrong man, Mrs. McGee. I'd be hot right now if I was up to my clavicle in ice cubes. This is a warm work.
Well, I hate to keep that dining room window open, but the thermostat on the furnace simply won't work. Hey. Have you been monkeying with that, McGee?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
With the thermostat?
Yes.
Why should I have been monkeying with the thermostat?
That's what I want to know.
Heck, I don't know anything about a thermostat.
I know that, too, but did you monkey with it?
When?
Anytime.
Well, say, I did kind of tinker with it last night at that.
Oh, Now it comes out. And just what did you do to it, Mastermind?
Well, I was walking past it with a screwdriver in my hand, and the screwdriver caught in one of the little screws, and the first thing I knew, I had it all apart. Wonderful little gadget, too.
McGee, I don't know what I'm going to do with you.
That's a coincidence, Molly. I don't know what I'm going to do with this little dingus I took out of it either. I couldn't find any way to get it back in there.
Well, why didn't you tell me so I could call the furnace man?
Well, I was going to fix it myself when I got time. I'm pretty ingenious with mechanical stuff. You know that.
Oh, sure. What happened when you fixed my percolator?
What you mean?
It throws coffee across the room like a fire extinguisher. And my electric toaster.
Oh, well.
I have to fix breakfast wearing a catcher's mitt.
Oh, well. No machine is perfect. As soon as I finish with this tree, I'll fix it. Stop a while and listen to my...
Well, you go ahead and I'll go open that dining room window.
Okay. Come in.
Hi, mister.
Oh, hi, sis.
What you doing? Who are you?
Sis, I'm currently engaged in giving this deposed monarch of the forest a cross-cut massage. I said I'm doing a little whittling on this Christmas tree. Look, do you always drink your milk like a good girl?
Sure, I do, I betcha. Why?
Well, you better, that's all. Take a look at this saw. Only 3 years old, and its teeth are all shot. Let that be a lesson to you.
Okay, mister.
Now, I wish you wouldn't bother me anymore. Now, I got to finish this job and get the sawdust swept out.
Gee, you know, it smells dandy in here.
Sure does. Mm-hmm. No nicer smell in the world than a cedar tree. It's one of nature's lures to get us out into the great outdoors.
Gee. Is it, honest, mister?
Sure it is. You got to realize, sis, that there's a reason for everything in nature.
Oh. What's nature's reason for spinach, huh?
Why, sis, you mean to stand there with your little arms sticking out of your shoulders and tell me you don't know that?
Yes, I don't, I betcha. Well,
nature gave us spinach so we could have Popeye.
Oh. Gee, I guess I never thought of that, mister. Nature is wonderful, isn't he?
She.
Hmm?
Nature, sis, is always referred to as she.
Why?
Well, because... Oh, boy, here's my chance to make Reader's Digest. Sis, nature is called she because it's so inconsistent, unstable, unpredictable, beautiful, mean, gorgeous, appealing, nasty, and nobody yet has ever understood her.
Do you think the Reader's Digest would like that?
Well, don't you?
The name of the magazine, mister, is Digest, not Heartburn. So long now.
Last time I ever tried to explain something to her, if I'm smart. Okay. Uh-oh. Aha. Now we're getting someplace. Now to cut her down on the sides. Trim the ends a little bit. Get her up there.
Oh, heavenly days, there goes that window again.
You don't have to worry about it anymore, Molly. Here's a nice stick I made for you to prop it up with.
Oh, fine, dear. Just the thing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, forget it. It's nothing that any red-blooded American boy couldn't have done.
Say, it was very thoughtful of you now, McGee. Say,
huh?
What became of the Christmas tree?
That's it. I got her trimmed down a little too fine.
Well,
that, I guess. Now to go to work on that thermostat.
No, no, don't do it.
Folks, day after day and night after night on this program and others for the past 2 weeks, you've heard urgent requests to buy defense bonds and defense stamps. It's getting a little repetitious, isn't it? Well, it's going to get more repetitious. We're going to say it again and often and loud. This is not an invitation to a tea party or a bingo game. This is war, and we've got to do something about it. It's going to cost a lot of money to win it, but it would cost a lot more than mere money to lose it. Now, don't wait for somebody to come to your door selling bonds and stamps. Get down to your bank or post office and lay it on the line. This isn't the other fellow's fight. It's yours and mine. So here it is again. Buy defense bonds and defense stamps.
Yes, and if you live in Canada, buy war-saving certificates or victory bonds.
Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax Finishes for Home and Industry, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Fibber McGee and Molly on Tuned to Yesterday from the 16th of December, 1941 on NBC. Wrapping up this hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday, be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Happy holidays.